Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we continue our series on the opioid crisis in Nevada with Dr. Jason Penrod, he's a pharmacist, and Liz McMenamin with the Retail Association of Nevada. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
I'm Scott Peterson. We're spurring on the Western Legacy. June 16th through the 25th. For tickets, call 800-325-SEAT or visit RenoRodeo.com. Come join us at the Reno Rodeo.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology, like this electronic eye, that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation on the opioid crisis in Nevada, and it's sponsored by the Retail Association of Nevada. And our guest today is Dr. Jason Penrod. He is a practicing pharmacist, also a member of the Nevada State Board of Pharmacy, and Liz McMenamin, Vice President of Government Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada. Pleasure to have you both here.
Good morning, Sam.
So when Dr. Pinson was on the program, it was interesting that he was talking about some of the problems with the prescription monitoring program, not in the fact that you have it, but with privacy issues connected to it, and that people can come in potentially to examine what somebody is taking. And so there are lots of concerns with privacy issues. How do you view this?
Well, I think we need to be crystal clear on that. There's only select folks who are allowed access to the prescription monitoring program. Those are law enforcement through an active investigation. Through the records request process, that's not something that just happens automatically. They have to work through the board staff, the board attorney, and Larry to get that done. Also, practitioners who have access to that, they're the only ones that have access to that. So we're all very sensitive to the fact that we can't just have this information out there readily accessible to people who don't need it in the course of their practice of treating the patient, or in the case of a law enforcement investigation. All it's going to take is one event with the information being inappropriately released on you, Liz, me, anyone, and that's going to set off a firestorm of backlash against the program. That's okay. Something that we definitely don't want to see.
Absolutely. And let's talk about doctor shopping. So you're at the front lines of this. When you're filling a prescription, you're going to see if somebody has been to, as Dr. Pinson was talking about, seven different pharmacists with seven different prescriptions. And I want to broaden the question because I don't want this to be about picking on doctors or about picking on pharmacists. Right. I want to be about how do we resolve the issues. Well, so make it as broad as you would like to make
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And I think as you pointed out, it's not just about doctors. There are more people out there writing prescriptions mm-hmm. than just physicians. We have nurse practitioners, dentists, PAs, podiatrists. It's a long list of providers, so we can't just lump the doctors into that group and have them shoulder all the or bear all the weight of this. Additionally, also, I think you need to understand what it means to be a pharmacist nowadays. I think the big misperception is what the pharmacist profession used to be, and people perceive it even that incorrectly, is that all we do is stand there behind the counter, count out pills, put them in a bottle, and make sure the label matches the prescription. That's not what happens at all today. The degree has evolved itself. As of 2000, every pharmacist graduating from pharmacy school is a doctor now. We go to the same number of years of school with the same clinical experiential rotations as our physician counterparts. So we, as pharmacists in the pharmacy, are now managers of managing that facility in the same way that a prescriber manages their medical practice. The difference is they are diagnosing and providing treatment. We are on our end providing treatment and dispensing medications. So with that in mind, taking a look at the cutbacks for reimbursements for the provider side, which speaks to the shortage on the provider side, you look at the pharmacy side, you see some contraction in pharmacy as well. And I'm sure Liz will speak to this quite extensively. So now we're expected to do more with less. So you've got both sides of the equation doing more with less. And now you have this person who's presented in your pharmacy, as Larry pointed out, who has been to seven other providers and seven other pharmacies before they've shown up on my doorstep. It's a fine line to walk for us as pharmacists. We didn't go to school to be law enforcement officers, but in many ways we're thrust into that role because now we're required to, because the Controlled Substance Act says that there is a corresponding responsibility. Just as the physician or the prescriber is required to determine a legitimate medical need to even put pen to paper to write that prescription, the pharmacist also has the obligation to do the same. So now I have this person who's presented before me. And keep in mind, this person, this is where the individual has to shoulder a significant amount of this responsibility. It's not like they just walked into a doctor's office, got a prescription, and showed up on my doorstep. They have made a calculated effort to decide that today I'm going to go see Dr. A, tomorrow I'm going to go see Dr. B, and these are going to be my different stories that I'm providing to this prescriber. And then I'm going to show up at the pharmacy and say, I don't have insurance, or here's my discount card, run it on this one. This pharmacy, I'm going to run my insurance card. It's a calculated effort. And then when we try to have a conversation with these people about their care, whether we're just at the counseling window, they are incensed by the fact that we're even asking them questions about their condition. It's not done, again, going back to be like a law enforcement officer, we need to have those answers in order to adequately counsel the patient. As Larry pointed out in his segment, we don't have the chart in front of us, so we need to obtain this information from the patient to ensure that we're providing adequate and appropriate therapy for them.
Liz, you want to follow up on that?
Well, actually, one of the ultimate things is we always need to remember here is the most important thing is getting those patients the care that they're required. And that's one of the things that watching a pharmacist, the pharmacist is the key person for the public out there to know that that is the last person that they're going to see. But they will have more access to that pharmacist inside that pharmacy than they may their doctor. And that's a time to sit down and say, this is what's going on in my life. This pharmacist is trained. He or she is a medical professional who has been trained to be able to handle whatever your needs are. They're the ones that know what the drugs are. A doctor or a prescriber, alluding to what Jason said, is there's many people out there prescribing these drugs, or many professions. The prescriber actually doesn't have the full knowledge about these drugs. They have what the marketing person from that manufacturer has that tells them in their office. But this pharmacist has the working knowledge. And as a patient, it is your responsibility, I think, to talk to that pharmacist and spend time with them while they explain. And I think has some of that occurred, and we as patients take responsibility for our treatment, we would have a better understanding of what these opiates could possibly do to us, because that pharmacist knew as they're going out, hence the responsibility of the doctor and the pharmacist. The DEA requires that the pharmacist is just as responsible today as the doctor is.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Lots more to talk about right after this.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the opioid crisis in Nevada is brought to you by the Retail Association of Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
I'm Scott Peterson. We're spurring on the Western Legacy. June 16th through the 25th. For tickets, call 800-325-SEAT or visit RenoRodeo.com. Come join us at the Reno Rodeo.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dr. Jason Penrod. He's a pharmacist and a member of the State Board of Pharmacy, and Liz McMenamin, the Vice President of Government Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada. So, first of all, I want to ask you about, you were saying contraction in the pharmaceutical industry. What contraction are you referring to?
So the reimbursement rates have gone down dramatically. Many of us have seen in the news, and sometimes these things get glossed over and they don't get the attention that they deserve. One of the biggest providers of pharmaceutical services in the nation has recently rejected contracts with some of the major insurance carriers because the reimbursement rates are too low. For what they're wanting to reimburse the pharmacy operation for filling prescriptions, you almost can't even turn on the lights. So you can't even fill the prescription. You can't even buy the prescription for what they want to reimburse the pharmacy for.
Okay, so that's putting pressure on other stores that are doing this because they're just getting more patients coming in, and especially now with
I speak to that because not everybody's doing that. So you have to find ways to. I mean, let's be honest. They're not in the business to lose money. They're in the business to provide a service and make money. They're not making some inordinate amount of money, as many people have incorrectly stated. They're trying to do more with less. The same thing happens on the provider side. So we have a double-edged sword here that's cutting both ways through both sides of the profession. So with that in mind, it's something to tail in off of what Liz was saying earlier. Is we look at the providers, you can pretty much put these providers into three categories. You have the providers like Dr. Danko, who you've had on, excellent prescriber, does the prescribing of pain management and control substances very well, especially at the family practice level. That's a tall order for family practice physicians and providers to fill. Then you have the other ones who, like Larry was talking about, they're trying to take care of their patient. And they're trying to take care of that patient that's coming to them and saying, no, I need this. No, I need this. I need this. And then we have the other ones who are obviously inappropriately prescribing. To all of them and all of the pharmacists, I would say we have a set of guidelines now. The CDC has finally issued a set of guidelines. They're very clear. They're very concise. They have summarized all the data that we have that spans all the years that Larry was talking about, giving the history of controlled substance prescribing. It clearly delineates what's appropriate, what's inappropriate, and what to do when it's not working, and where to start to begin with.
And what do you do when it's not working?
So when it's not working, so the CDC guidelines, first of all, they said you don't start with controlled substances to begin with, so unless you're dealing with somebody who's in emergent pain. So from my perspective, as someone who was a flight medic, who treated people who in traumatic emergent pain, flew a medevac helicopter in Afghanistan with our guys that have body parts blown off, we were not even administering in the helicopter with patients who were intubated on a ventilator after having body parts blown off, that some of the doses that we're seeing in the community setting. So if you think about that, plus you think about the numbers that Larry provided as us being by far and away the highest dispenser of controlled substances, it's obviously inappropriate, because how are the other people in the rest of the world doing just fine, but somehow we're different? We're not. So when it's not working, they say, if after 6 months you've been treating this person and you've escalated therapy, there's no functional improvement, there's no overall improvement in their pain, then it's time to reevaluate that therapy. Additionally, our job as healthcare providers is to find a solution to the problem. Narcotics especially tend to be just a Band-Aid to get that person to the point to where they can actually be treated. If it's a orthopedic injury, they're treated by an orthopedist. If there's some neurological involvement, that's where the neurosurgeons come in. If you have a dislocation, I mean, we have chiropractors. There are other modalities out there to resolve the problem, not just to keep applying a Band-Aid to the problem.
Okay, but do you see that being resolved anytime in the near future? Because it seems, you know, because when we talk about the medical industry, we talk about, you know, doctors are doing the best that they can, but you get 10 minutes.
I agree totally, Sam. It's tough. It's tough for a doctor, or a prescriber for that matter, to see a patient and not want to go ahead and get them out the door and give them something to as a salve or a bandage. I like that, because I think this is all being treated as a bandage right now. The money's being funneled from D.C. at this point in time is on treatment, and while that's really important for these people, why aren't we spending some money looking at the front end of this? And let's talk about the manufacturer who paid $600 million in fines. But that manufacturer made over a billion dollars in 1 year, starting from the time they started flooding the market with this. So I don't know where the resolution is, but I think that we start there at that end and move forward. And then we still continue to treat those patients, because there are people out there, like Dr. Penrod was saying, there will continue to be people who, when they present to the physician or are in a medical facility, they're going to need treatment right away. Does that mean they need to be on these medications for 6 months, or do they need to continue? Possibly not. But then at that point in time after that treatment, then that's when the medical community can come together and say, okay, we need to look at this. We've treated this part of this patient, but do we continue to give them these same kind of opiates? Are they now dependent? Are they now addicted? So there is a it's my understanding, and I'm not a doctor, so please forgive me out there. There is a difference between dependency and addiction. And in finding that out, that was interesting for me. But in the end, the resolution is going to take everyone. The industry coalition that's been meeting in Nevada is everyone involved in that circle. And I give kudos to the manufacturers who are attending, to everyone in that whole medical circle, the resources. They're all looking at ways to help this. So we're talking about it. I think that's a good start.
It's a good start. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. More questions right after this.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. You ask, are we busy? Here's United Construction. 700,000 square feet of distribution. This is SJS Development. They're grading for their new facility. This is eBay's new data center under construction. TRI offers 30,000 acres of industrial property. It's ready to build, and there's room for you. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. We're building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We worked for the insurance companies. We know their tricks.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
Title Max makes it easy to turn your title into cash. Just go to TitleMax.com. Find out how much you can get.
Using TitleMax.com, I got $1,400.
$3,200.
TitleMax.com got me $9,700.
Best of all, most credit types are approved. Next time you need cash, try TitleMax for rate. Try TitleMax for the amount you need. Find out why so many people are saying,
I got my title back with TitleMax.
Get your title back with TitleMax.
If you're suffering with diabetes, taking metformin, and being told insulin is now necessary, you need to get a copy of this free consumer report before it's too late and dialysis is your only option. Find out why these medications actually make things worse and why your doctors can't tell you about the most successful treatment that doesn't require any drugs or surgery. To get the free report many doctors don't want you to see, call the Consumer Education Hotline now, toll-free at 1-888-260-1919 and listen to the 24-hour recorded message.
Accidents happen every day. They change lives in an instant.
When you've been injured, you're going to have questions.
We have the answers and the experience.
Call Galloway and Jensen, 333-7555. We fight for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with pharmacist Dr. Jason Penrod and Liz McMenamin with the Retail Association of Nevada. So here's one of the questions I have. Because I was involved not with an opiate, but with another medicine, where a doctor told me to get off that medicine. Within a couple of days, I had the worst flu-like symptoms. My back was hurting. I was in terrible shape. Went to the pharmacist. Pharmacist said, "You didn't just stop taking this drug, did you?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, you can't do that. You have to come up. You could have had a seizure." And my question is, when doctors and pharmacists are handing out these drugs, especially if they're handing them out in quantity, should there be a better warning? And I understand when you say that people who are doctor shopping don't want to answer questions, but the general public in general doesn't want to, you know.
And that's a big hurdle we face.
But isn't there a need for more counseling to say to people when they get this prescription, okay, you have to beware. This is something that is very addictive. You want to take as few of these pills as possible and get off this medication as soon as you can because these are the dangers. And I know you got all the printed forms and everything else, but I mean, you know, the public in general is not necessarily all that smart all the time. And they want to get in and out. But
well,
it's like
that's you're
the doctors
exactly right.
And the pharmacists, I think, have a responsibility to really hammer this home.
So,
because it's scary.
So you bring it. Your circumstance is the classic example of what we see daily in pharmacy. So I hand you this phone book of paperwork that everybody has added their what they feel is appropriate to the pile. Are you going to read that? No. Most of us anymore, we don't have the time or don't want to take the time. And so you're talking about more counseling. I would say what we need is more appropriate counseling. So any new prescription, so if you've been on let's just say you're on a blood pressure medication, you've been taking that blood pressure medication for the last 5 years, you're stable on it. Your blood pressure is great, you're having no side effects, you get a new prescription, you're still going to be brought over to the council window, and that pharmacist, you're going to have to tell that pharmacist, "I take this all the time, I don't need to talk to you." After that happens several times, the time where you really do need to talk to me, especially in the case that you described, you're going to be unwilling to do so because this is the pattern. This is what you're used to. I don't need this. I already talked to my doctor. I don't need to talk to you. So do we need more counseling? Absolutely not. Do we need more appropriate counseling? Absolutely.
So how do you get there?
I think we, on the regulatory side, need to take a look at what that is. We actually just, some of my colleagues and I on the board had a conversation about this, stemming from some other issues we've had with prescribing and not being able to identify errors before they reach the patient. So there's a balance, and we need to figure out where that balance is, and we need to work with Liz's constituents, the pharmacists themselves, and with the medical providers and with the pharmacist community to figure that out. But that's what we need to do, and that's very doable.
But I'd add also to that, Jason, that not only does that need to occur, but it also needs to occur where we again educate the public and make the public responsible for their medical care, I guess is the best way, and make them understand the piece, like I was saying before, that this pharmacist can give you the information you need about these dangerous drugs. And don't ever kid yourself. Every drug you take is a dangerous drug. Then we come to the controlled substances. So you need to know what the contraindications are, what the, what might the adverse reactions might be. So that being said, I think it's, educating.
And I want to say
very quick response.
Yeah, one very important point. The pharmacist at the end of the day has the ultimate authority and makes the ultimate decision whether or not a prescription is dispensed, period. Mm-hmm. Not the provider, not anyone else, the pharmacist, period. If they've made the decision that they've determined and through their professional decision-making process that the therapy is inappropriate, they will not and should not dispense that medication.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you both very much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the opioid crisis in Nevada is brought to you by the Retail Association of Nevada.
The real estate market is on fire. If you want top dollar for your home, it's a great time to sell. With Marshall Realty's 90-day guarantee, you'll feel confident in selling your home right now. Call today to find out how you can take advantage of this hot market.
I gotta make payroll and buy supplies too. Got checks in hand and I don't know what to do. Days and weeks are just too long to wait. I got the cash flow.
If your small business can't wait days or even weeks to access your deposits, bring those personal or business checks into Check City and get cash in minutes.
It's a cure for the cash flow. Check City, baby.
So, how's the remodel going?
Oh my gosh, where do I start? My contractor is amazing. He's made the whole process so easy on me. It's like I've always said, it pays to look for the seal. Ladies, I am not kidding. I always look for the seal.
Oh, I know you do. I do too.
Me too.
That's the truth. When we bought our car, we looked for the seal. When we were searching for daycares, we looked for the seal. I won't even buy shoes online unless I see the seal.
The BBB makes my life easier because I know I can always trust BBB accredited businesses. That's why I always look for the seal.
Welding is one of those great things. You can use electricity and metal and form it into large, awesome things, either buildings or artwork. There's a whole lot of opportunity for welders in the current region. I would recommend CSUN to other people, and I actually have several times because they helped with everything from start to finish, even putting me in a job after I graduated.
Do you want guaranteed results when selling your home? If you do, then you need an agent that will put his own money on the line. Marshall Realty does exactly that with their 90-day guarantee program. Call 787-7400 today to get your home sold guaranteed.
On our next broadcast, John Wellinghoff, the Chief Policy Officer for Solar City.